If I use prayer and faith in the Word of God and I am obedient to God's Word, guess what? Satan can't touch me. Because God is for me. Who can be against me? By putting on the armor of God, using the weapons like the Word of God and prayer, which are important. If you're not praying and you're not in the Word, then you have no defense. He'll get you good.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Roel Reese in Diamond Bar, California. We're glad you've joined us today as we return to 1 Peter for fresh motivation to spend daily time in the Bible and in prayer. Pointing to the trials and temptations that can weaken our spiritual commitment, Roel will encourage us to shore up our faith. We'll see that when we prioritize personal communion with God, He'll equip us to stand strong against spiritual attack. In 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 8, here's Roel Reese.
What Peter does now is he's coming to the close of his first letter. He shares some of the important counsels given to us regarding how we should be standing, not sitting, not lying down, standing firm in the faith that God has given to you and me. So as we review this letter, we must remember, this is Peter, the apostle of Jesus Christ, the one that didn't want his feet washed, the one that denied the Lord 3 times, and the one on the day of Pentecost that stood up and gave reference scripturally to everyone there so there was no confusion what took place in the upper room when the Holy Spirit came and baptized each one of them with the gift of tongues. Empower them for service. Amazing. So the first thing that he does is he begins by clarifying our identity. That means that we were elected by God. We were elected by God as sojourners. And he emphasizes also the security that we can have as believers in Christ Jesus. We're not outside. We're in Christ Jesus. Paul uses that word in the book of Ephesians in 6 chapters, 42 times. In Christ speaks of my position in the Lord. Real important to understand that. Because he begins to share the heights, referring to our joy that is unspeakable, full of glory, he says. Full of glory. The joy that God brings is not happiness. This is something that the Holy Spirit can only bring to your life. Joy. John said that your joy may be full. The joy that comes by knowing and serving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So the Word of God is very important with my relationship to God as a Christian by coming by faith in Jesus Christ makes me the kind of person that I want to be in this world so that I can rule and reign in the next world to come. Remember that. And think where we are today as a church in the world that we live in today. The Christian faith that God has given to us, all the truths that are in the Word of God, and how we look at Christ as person in ministry as we read it and we study it, and then we become part of that ministry as believers in Jesus Christ. But we have to come to a place of submission, fully submitting to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Because Peter, in his writing, had descended not only from denying the Lord to proclaiming the Lord and then suffering for the Lord and eventually being killed by being crucified upside down because he said, I'm not worthy to die like my master Jesus Christ. And Peter now, as he's coming to the conclusion, as he's speaking about trials and temptations and persecution, prosecutions, and death. He's not going to come to that end of that great letter that he writes to us in 1 Peter. And he's drawing to a close. And yet he's concerned about spiritual welfare of the church. What's going to happen to believers when I die? He's thinking. And I'm thinking the same thing. What's going to happen if the Lord comes? They were facing turbulent times and trials. We, America, just in the last 2 years, look what's happened to America. Look what's happening to the world. It's changing rapidly, quickly. And yet, we know that the Lord has promised the church that we will not be here for the day of wrath. That's a promise. In the book of Thessalonians, he tells you that. We're not appointed for the tribulation period. But God will take his church home. He's coming for his bride. Very soon. So Peter now, in coming to those concluding words, we pick it up now there in verse 8 where he says, now, by the way, and this is amazing, like Paul, before he closes the book of Ephesians, what does he do? He brings up Satan one more time at the end. Because not only do we have three enemies, we have the world, the flesh, and Satan. Write that down. Those are your three enemies. The world, notice. And then notice again, when you think about it, Satan is one of the great enemies that comes against us over and over and over and over again. And when you think of what Peter's going to tell us here, it's just amazing because Peter here is divinely speaking on the grace of God. We believe in the grace of God, which enables what? Christians to triumph in all circumstances that we're facing as believers. We know that. It's like if your wife has cancer or your husband has cancer or you lost a son or a daughter, everybody goes through their own little valleys in life. And you're literally coming to a place in your life, like I came in my life, your faith will be tested. Your faith will be tested. When I got sick, my faith was tested. When I couldn't think straight, and I had paranoia, and I thought I was back in the Vietnam War, and my brain got pretty messed up. After 40-some years, never happened, and then one day, it just popped into my mind. In my driveway, turning my car off after teaching Hebrews chapter 3. And all of a sudden, man, the thing from my navel to my throat to my brain hit me just like that, and I was gone. I couldn't preach for 6 weeks. Locked up in my home with paranoia. You never know what's going to happen. And yet you have to be open to the Holy Spirit to know that if God is for me, then who can be against me? Who can be against me? And behind it all was Satan, trying to bring fear to me. Should I never be fearful? To the point when I was sleeping on my bed, I'm not the type of person where I had my wife had to hold my hand because I was scared. And I've never been scared in my life like that. A paranoia, closing the shades. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he does with you. He knows what you can handle, what you cannot handle. He studies you day and night. The Bible tells us that. He strategizes with his demons. How can we get this child of God to fall? Let's work on his wife. Let's work on his baby. Let's work on his job. Let's work on this. Let's work on that. And yet, the promise of God says, God will never tempt you far and beyond that you're able. God always has a way of escape for you. What is God doing then? He's making you stronger. He's trying to see what you're really made out of, to see if you're really faithful or not to him. Do you really love me? Lord, I love you. Okay, we'll see. Let's see if you really, really love me. So Peter here, the first point that we have here in verse 8, is that he wants to bring us aware of the presence of Satan in our lives. We don't talk about Satan only when he comes up. But we have to understand that he's the enemy. He's the enemy to the child of God. And what's amazing as I was going through this, notice in verse 8, he starts out by saying, be sober and be vigilant. Two words that he uses. The first word that he uses here is really a word of self-control, but at the same time, he's literally using the word to be sober. Notice here, be sober in mind or in spirit by not getting drunk with wine. Nothing that takes you away from God. A false substance. The word used here is for wine. Those that drink. Because then you don't have a sound mind. You don't have a clear mind. Right here when he's speaking in chapter 5 here, verse 8, he's talking about being aware of Satan, the way Satan entraps people. He says what? Be sober, sober-minded spiritually, which means don't do anything to stumble another person like drinking wine. Like drinking wine. Think about that. What are the elements here of self-control? How about ruling our one spirit by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives by denying ourselves? Taking up our cross and following Jesus Christ, saying no to sin. You see? You don't have to feed your flesh. You can starve it to death. Secondly, the soulness or the oneness that you have in your life in making a stand before the world and the world coming against you, but at the same time, if God is for me, then who can be against me? If I do what's right, who cares about the world? I'm going to have to answer to God for my life, not for your life. Every one of us individually will answer to God for our lives.
This is Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Ruiz. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com to browse our full range of resources designed to grow your faith and deepen your relationship with God. You can also find a wealth of biblical teaching on the Somebody Loves You Worldwide YouTube channel. Let's continue now with more from Raul Ruiz.
And the third thing that I thought about is the control of those things that I'm doing in order not to make you stumble in any way. In any way, I don't want to make anybody stumble. I want to make sure that I'm sober. Especially if you've had a problem with alcohol, why test the Lord? Why go back to it and say, I can handle a beer? Oh man, I wouldn't take a chance. Why? Because Satan will get you good. How many started with one beer and then two beers and three and five or six? And then go to whiskey. And once they get tired of alcohol and whiskey, they go to drugs. And you just keep moving and moving until finally you're in the gutter and you're destroyed. Because you were not sober. You didn't watch yourself. You know what the word vigilant means? Be vigilant. Be on the alert. Be watching who's around you. Be alert. That's the word that he uses here in the Greek language. He says, be alert, be awake. Don't be sleeping. Be vigilant, watching. How do we do that? Well, like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane, in prayer. Remember when he got on his face before the Lord and he was praying, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. And what happened to the disciples? Instead of praying, they were sleeping. And when the 600 men came across the Kidron Valley with swords and torches, what did they do? They denied the Lord. And Jesus said, instead of sleeping, you should have been praying. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak in the life of people. Praying. And then we have to be aware, secondly, of spiritual attacks from the enemy. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rules of darkness. Satan has his army. He has his privates, his lance corporals and PFCs, and all the way up to generals, man. And he's always looking for a weakness in your life where he can get you good. So we have to be aware that the enemy doesn't sleep. While you sleep, he plans. How am I going to get this person? Let's look deeply into his life and see where there's a hole in the wall where we can crawl in. So we have to be very careful. Praying and being spiritual. And then think about this, waiting upon the Lord to work. Waiting upon God to work in my life and through my life. As I stand back and watch God work and give me his strength and his wisdom and his knowledge as he empowers me with his Holy Spirit. Remember when Jesus was laying there praying? And then he got up, he saw them coming across the Kidron Valley, and he says, sleep on you guys. And then when they came, they all got up, and Peter took out a sword and tried to be Mr. Samurai and took off the guy's ear, Malchus. And the Lord went over, picked up the ear, put it back, and said, Peter, put away your sword. And then they came, Judas came to him and kissed him and kept kissing them and kissed him. And the Lord said, Judas, enough. I said, enough. Do what you have to do. Do what you came here to do. And he betrayed him with a kiss. And Jesus turned himself over to them and they took him. And the disciples all ran and scattered. And Peter followed him afar off. And when he was warming himself by the fire, a girl said, hey, aren't you one of the apostles? Oh, no, not me, not me. You got the wrong person. Three times. And finally, Peter denied him. Because Peter, James, and John and all did not prepare themselves in prayer to come against the enemy when the enemy would attack fully. You got to be in the Word. You got to pray. You got to walk by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yet that's the Holy Spirit to baptize you every single day because this world's a mess. It's a mess. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Be vigilant. Why? Here's why. Because your, speaking to Christians, adversary, the devil, is walking about doing what? Like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Wow. Can you believe that? He's walking around seeking people to devour. To make you fall. To move you away from fellowship with God. And when you're not plugged into the source of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, listen, you will be weak. You have no defense. Your battery is dry. You have no power. No power for anything, but only to be defeated and to be taken captive by the enemy. That's why we have to be careful. As believers, he says what? Because your adversary, the devil, as believers, notice, the power over Satan is what? To be watching against that, fighting against it, resisting against it, and then overcoming against Satan. Those are the things that believers must do. Again, watching, fighting, resisting, and overcoming. And we do all those things by being obedient through faith in Jesus Christ. I make up my mind, Lord, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to discipline my life every day to fight the fight against Satan. And you're going to win. If God is for me, who can be against me? Nobody. Nobody can be against me. He walks about Satan like a roaring lion. Notice that. Seeking who he may devour. Somebody gave testimony that lived in Africa because they asked the question, well, how, if you come across a lion and you're in the field of the lion's view, what do you do? He says, the first thing you don't do is you don't start running. He'll get you. Secondly, he says, stand as tall as you can without fear. Start shouting, screaming. And if you have a stick, start beating the stick. He says you might be able to convince a lion to turn around and start going the other way. But if he attacks, if you have a spear, you get on your knee, and when he jumps on you, you stick him right in the heart. That's true. That's the way to kill a lion. But you're doing everything that is right to fight a lion in case you're in trouble. And who's the greatest lion? Satan. You know how to fight him? Learn through the word of God. God has told us how to do it. He roars like a lion seeking whom he may devour. Notice that. And yet, think about this. Now they must what? They must not only look at Satan as a lion, and then the trials and the temptations that come in our lives, when Satan brings fear to us, and he makes us look to fear instead of looking to Jesus, which is not the author of fear, but of faith. Then in verse 9, look what he says. Resist him. And what? Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. He says, it's not just you, the Chinese, the Japanese Christians, the ones in Thailand, the ones in the South Pacific, the ones over in Australia, the ones in New Zealand, the ones in Africa, the ones in Russia, in Siberia, in South America, Central America, Mexico, and the United States. We all go through it. We're all going through it. We got to what? Keep resisting Satan. Satan is dangerous. He's an enemy. He's a serpent. He's a destroyer. He's the accuser of the brethren. He has great power of intelligence and a host of demons to come after you. And yet greater is he that is in me than he that is of the world. 1 John says that, chapter 4. He who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. If I use prayer and faith in the word of God and I am obedient to God's word, guess what? Satan can't touch me. He's done. He's done. Because God is for me. Who can be against me? By putting on the armor of God, using the weapons like the word of God and prayer, which are important. Those are the two important things. If you're not praying and you're not in the word, then you have no defense. You can't resist him. He'll get you good. And think of how many marriages and single people Satan is harassing, oppressing, and depressing, and getting the victory today.
You've been coming under spiritual attack. We hope today's message has deepened your confidence that you can withstand all that Satan throws at you as you hold fast to God and His Word. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Today's lesson is available in its unedited form for a donation of $5 or more. To get your copy, just call us at 800-634-9165 and ask for today's teaching from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. We'd also like to offer you additional support from 1 Peter. Rawls' in-depth 42-part series is available on both CD and thumb drive, with each lesson further illuminating the empowerment of a fully surrendered, faith-grounded life. You'll learn that when you entrust your heart to the Lord, He'll guide you through the valleys and bless you on the journey to your heavenly home. To order Rawls' 42-part study of 1 Peter, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. We'll send you the flash drive for $42 or the CD set for $63. That's 800-634-9165. Or write to Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. This ministry is fully listener-supported. Your tax-deductible gifts enable us to keep sharing the truth and hope found in God's Word. Be sure to join us again next time for the conclusion of Rawls' in-depth study of 1 Peter. We'll finish on a high note as we think about God's matchless grace and anchor our faith in the reassurance that our salvation isn't earned, it's a gift made possible through Jesus Christ. Now, with the closing comment, here's Rawl once again.
So it's really important as we're sitting here tonight, that tonight let's start practicing it. When we go home tonight, get on your knees with your family and pray. You watch what's going to happen. You watch. Start reading the Bible with them. Start praying with them. And you as a husband, as a leader of your home, start becoming the spiritual head of your home, and you watch what happens to your home. You will get blown away. And the single girls and young guys here, man, if you put God first, if you seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and you become a spiritual person, let me tell you something, God will give you the best in life, husband and wife, and everything else, because you're seeking first the kingdom of God. He will blow you away, man. Blow you away.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.